Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God, our Heavenly Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Are you as uncomfortable with beggars on the street as I am? I don't see any heads shaking, or yes or no, so I must be the only one. Not to give or not to give seems to be my question. I remember watching that TV magazine show, 60 Minutes. It's still on the air. This was many years ago. And they did a piece on people panhandling in New York City. And what they discovered is some people, I'll just say a few people, I don't think everybody had quite the income as the ones they interviewed, were making somewhere around $80,000 a year panhandling in New York City. That reminds me of a time that we were at Disneyland with our family, and my grandpa was with us. I was pretty young at the time, but old enough to know what was going on. As we approached the gate, we were confronted by a man who was begging for money, and he had some kind of story about his family and not the car. I don't even remember all the details of the story. And all I remember is my dad just sort of keeping his glance forward toward the gate and walking right by. My grandpa Carl, on the other hand, pulled out his wallet, took out a $5 bill, and handed it to the man. When we got inside the gate, I asked him why he gave the man the money. And he said, I don't really know whether his story is true or not, but I would rather be cheated than knowing that I could have helped a man in need and didn't. And that's really stuck with me. Sometimes when I find myself in that kind of a situation, I find myself feeling generous like my grandpa. And other times, believe it or not, I take note of the situation mentally and just walk by like my dad might. I have to admit that sometimes there's some kind of a judgment going through my head, whether I think it's deserved or not. Maybe you've had that before. If the person doesn't look homeless, in other words, if they're wearing Nike shoes and designer clothes, I have a tendency to walk by thinking, maybe this isn't really such a needy situation. Begging is a humbling experience if you've ever done it. So I try to look beyond my clumsy judgments and help, even if it's a buck or two. The word begging really caught my eye in this text this morning. So let's look at the word begging, beggars. Jesus was sailing across the Sea of Galilee to this area called the Gerasenes. And when he got on land on the other side of the lake there, he was approached by a man who fell at his feet. But as the conversation ensued, it's hard to know who is begging, the man or the demons that had possessed him. As Luke tells us, that the man was pretty messed up, didn't have any clothes, no home, and was living among the tombs. Kind of creepy, if you ask me. A little later in the text, Luke says that the demons had seized him many times so that he had to be shackled, put under guard. But the demonic influence was so strong in him that he could break the shackles, the chains, and the spirit, the demons, would lead him out into the desert. Jesus, knowing the cause of this man's torment and remedy, asks the man, "What's your name?" And the demon said, "Legion," for he had many demons. And they begged him, there's that word. These demons begged him not to command them to depart into the abyss, which I've concluded means hell. So there was this herd of pigs feeding on the hillside, and they begged him to let them enter these pigs. And Jesus gave them permission. After all, he is, as they described him earlier, Jesus, the Son of the Most High God. In spite of their situation as demons, they knew who he was, and they knew his power. As demons, though, they had already made their choice to follow the prince of demons. And apparently their choice wasn't working out so well for them. The best they could hope for was to stay on earth, possessing anything that they could that was living. Maybe hell turned out not to be the paradise that they had hoped for. And by the power of God's, Jesus' divine nature, he gave them for that which they begged. And yet when they possessed the pigs ran into the lake and drowned. Now, we encounter another situation of begging. When the herdsmen saw and told it to the city and country, the people came out to see what had happened. They came to Jesus and found the man from whom the demons had gone sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. And their response should surprise us. They were afraid. I'm sure they were surprised, but afraid? If the herdsmen told the whole story about the demons, referring to Jesus as the Son of the Most High God, you would think they would be elated, filled with joy for the man that was possessed was now healed and set free. And this led them to begging. Although it doesn't use the word begging, I've interpreted that way, saying rather they asked Jesus. And what did they ask him? They asked him to leave. Why? Fear. Same reason why those demons were begging. Fear. And Jesus left. Now the man set free, for the first time, gets to beg on his own behalf. Before it was the demons begging for themselves. The man begs Jesus that he might be with him. There is no fear there. Perfect love has cast out all fear. From Jesus' response, though, you might have think he was refusing his request. But that would certainly be wrong. As you hear Jesus' words, return to your home and proclaim, declare how much God has done for you. The man, without further pleading, he's done pleading, went away as Jesus commanded, proclaiming throughout the whole city how much Jesus had done for him. He got it. God was in his midst. Jesus was God. Jesus was not abandoning him, but sending him on a mission. Didn't Jesus do exactly the same with the early church? When he died on the cross for the sins of the world, rising from the grave to overcome all demonic power, even the devil himself. And then what does he do? He instructs his disciples to go home and tell everyone what God, Jesus, has done for them. And then he sends his Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost to dwell within them with that same power by which he raised the dead, he raised Jesus from the dead, the same power that sent the demonic into the pigs. My friends, in the eyes of God, we are all beggars. We don't like to think of ourselves this way because we have worked so hard to make a living to provide for our families, and we're proud of that. We have planned for the future so that our future, every need has been foreseen and prepared for. How are we then beggars? But in the eyes of God, we are all beggars. How can we separate ourselves from this commonality? Regardless of socioeconomic status, race, gender, we are alike in our need of healing from all the demonic impulses. We are all alike in need of God's forgiveness and grace given to us in Christ. And that He has given us as we were baptized in His name. And that grace is continued to provide, is given to us to provide for our comfort and assurance through the body and blood of Christ given to us in Holy Communion. What a great gospel that is. You know, I don't know of any other person in human history who begged so incessantly for God's favor and forgiveness as the 16th century reformer Martin Luther. He worked tirelessly to bring the gospel to the average man, woman, and child. He translated the Bible into the vernacular, the language of the people. He wrote volumes of commentaries and letters. He taught and preached and pastored his flock in a way which turned the medieval religious world upside down. And yet, he continued to see himself as a beggar. Luther was actually coming to the end of his life. I don't think he knew it. But he wasn't feeling well. And he was traveling to Eisleben, Germany, the place of his birth, believe it or not, to settle a dispute between two brothers. He preached at the local church several times during this trip, even as late as 3 days before his death. On the evening of September 17th, he retired with prayer, "Into your hand I commit my spirit. You have redeemed me, O Lord, faithful God." At 1 o'clock in the morning the next day, Luther was jolted awake with an apparent heart attack. Despite various efforts to help and soothe him, he only grew worse. And near the end, Justin Jonas, a dear friend of Luther's and a fellow reformer, took his hand and he asked him, "Reverend Father, are you ready to die trusting in your Lord Jesus Christ and to confess the doctrine which you have taught in His name?" Luther responded loud enough for everyone in the room to hear, "Ja." Yes, that's German. The Lord received his spirit into heaven around 2:45 a.m. Now, what would be a fitting way to remember a man of such stature and accomplishments? There is perhaps no better epitaph than the words which Luther himself wrote. On the table next to his deathbed was a scrap of paper with his handwritten note on it. And it simply said, "We are all beggars." This is true. His whole life was a testimony to the undeserved grace of God. In fact, he recognized that the human tendency to seek God's favor through our works was found also in his heart, and he had to fight against it constantly. And yet Luther remembered so well the words of Jesus who said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit." for they shall see the kingdom of God. I'm learning to think differently about begging. I guess because I'm beginning to recognize that as my life is coming to that those golden years, as we love to call them, that I am so dependent upon the Lord Jesus Christ. There will come a time when everything is taken away from us, and we will be left with one thing, our faith in Jesus Christ. But everything that he has promised, he will give us. That's our confidence, and that's our hope. And that's why we continue to be beggars throughout our lives. We constantly go to him, begging for forgiveness and for mercy, because daily we sin against him. God, grant me, maybe grant all of us, to accept the healing benefits of his cross. I love the end of the psalm that we used today during our opening sentences. It says, salvation belongs to our God. Your blessing be upon your people. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God. I pray that's our begging word to God each and every day. For God will show us his mercy as he already has through his life, his suffering, his death, his resurrection, through the means of baptism, his word, the Lord's Supper, tremendous gifts to assure us. Let that be our confidence. In Jesus' name, amen.